Our gospel this 11th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with one who stores up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Earlier this week, as I was preparing for this Sunday's congregational meeting, I was looking at our bulletin as it was coming together for this morning. And as I was scanning through the pages with my head full of information for today's meeting and things that needed to get done, my eyes were drawn to a phrase of Scripture. "Vanity of vanities," says the teacher. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." I began to get a little nervous when I read that. But I have to be honest, for just a few seconds, I began to consider this great truth. All is vanity. And as I considered this truth, I realized that this text is actually perfectly matched for our gospel reading today. Not only that, these texts are in a way perfect for this congregational meeting. But before we get into that too much, quick question. How many of us at some point in our life have set aside a little bit of money for a specific purpose? Retirement accounts obviously apply. It could be maybe a rainy day fund or a new car fund. Maybe it's setting aside $5 a week so you can eventually get that hot item you've been wanting, that new phone, that TV, or something like that. Now, for me, when I was in seminary, it was a 32-inch flat-screen television. I thought it was the best thing ever when I got it. 720p HD and everything. We save up for things. We set money aside, and yet we have no promise that we will get the opportunity to use whatever we're blessed to save, do we? But it doesn't stop us from making plans, though, does it? And of course, it doesn't stop us. It shouldn't stop us from making plans. If we don't plan ahead, then often we fail to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given us. But still, we have no guarantees. No guarantees, and sometimes our plans lead us to arrogance. I think that's what we see in the rich man from our gospel reading today. We see an arrogance. He makes no provision for others. He sees only the abundance that comes from God and takes it as an excuse to make himself grander and greater. And in this moment, his only thought is on how he might enjoy his blessings and not continue to strive. He's going to relax. And in the end, seeking his own benefit first, others ultimately end up to enjoy his best laid plans. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So if all is vanity, if we are not guaranteed any gain from our toil, if we have no promised reward for the things that we save up, what are we working so hard for? Why do we toil beyond our basic daily need? Why do we operate with the vanity of maybe these church meetings? Why do we even come here? Now, I think there's one difference between us and the rich man in the Gospel of Luke. Well, there's probably a lot of differences, but the one that matters for our understanding today is that we come here to worship. We come here to discuss the business of the church, not because it is vanity, not because it is all about us, but because it is about far more than us. We look to the future of the Messiah and the whole of the Christian faith, not because of our own vanity, but because we look for the glory of God. We look for the work of the kingdom that occurs through this place. The rich man was only focused on himself. When we are doing the work of the kingdom of God, we are by nature looking beyond ourselves for a greater purpose. So I guess perhaps a better question for us today as we go about the work of the church is to ask ourselves, how can our work best testify to the gospel message? Not today's message necessarily, but the whole message of the love of Christ, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life found in Christ's death and resurrection. When we come together for these meetings and these conversations, we are invited to be stewards of the resources that we are given. And beyond that, we are invited to be visionaries for what God can do through the abundance that we receive. In the words of the Apostle Paul, we are invited to seek the things that are above. So if we are about the work of Messiah, we must be about the work of the whole of the kingdom of God. If we are about the business of the church, that business must be the business that enables us to more effectively share the good news with all our brothers and sisters in Christ. So is all truly vanity? Is all truly vanity? Only if we think that success, as we would define it, is the only option. Only if we think that we must be the ones to enjoy our hard work. But the nature of the church, the nature of the life of a Christian, is not to live for ourselves, but to live for the sake of the other. For this reason, we are about the work of the church. For this reason, we invest in the church with our labor, our blessings, and our hopes. For we hope not in ourselves and what we have received, but we hope in the one who gives us all things, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I tell you all, our toil is not vanity. Our hopes are not vanity. For we do not work for ourselves, and we do not hope for ourselves. Our hope and our labor is for the sake of the gospel, and it is the gospel that gives us all hope and all courage for the days ahead. So come, let us live our lives knowing that what we live for and how we live is a testament not to our own glory, but to the glory of our Lord. May all who gather here this day gather to do the work of God that has been placed before us. For truly, when we are engaged in God's work, the labor that we do is blessed beyond all measure. Amen.